What does the future hold for China? All that one can say for sure is that things will get worse before they get better, because of time lags and the momentum of damage already underway. One big factor acting both for the worse and for the better is the anticipated increase in China's international trade as a result of its joining the WTO, thereby lowering or abolishing tariffs and increasing exports and imports of cars, textiles, agricultural products, and many other commodities. Already, China's export industries tend to send manufactured finished products overseas and to leave in China the pollutants involved in the manufacture. There will presumably now be more of that. Some of China's imports, such as garbage and cars, have already been bad for the environment. There may be more of that, too. On the other hand, some countries belonging to the WTO adhere to environmental standards much stricter than China's, and that will force China to adopt those international standards as a condition of its exports being admitted by those countries. More agricultural imports may permit China to decrease its use of fertilizers, pesticides, and low-productivity cropland, while importation of oil and natural gas will let China decrease pollution from its burning of coals. A two-edged consequence of WTO membership may be that, by increasing imports and thereby decreasing Chinese domestic production, it will merely enable China to transfer environmental damage from China itself to overseas. Offsetting all the discouraging signs, there are also important promising signs. Both WTO membership and the impending 2008 Olympic Games in China have spurred the Chinese government to pay more attention to environmental problems. For instance, a $6 billion green wall or tree belt is now under development around Beijing to protect the city against dust and sandstorms. To reduce air pollution in Beijing, its city government ordered that motor vehicles be converted to permit the use of natural gas and liquefied petroleum gas. China phased out lead and gasoline in little more than a year, something that Europe and the U.S. took many years to achieve. New cars are required to meet exacting emission standards prevailing in Europe. China is already making a big effort to protect its outstanding biodiversity, with 1,757 nature reserves covering 13% of its land area, not to mention all of its zoos, botanical gardens, wildlife breeding centers, museums, and gene and cell banks. China uses some distinctive, environmentally friendly, traditional technologies on a large scale, such as the South Chinese practice of raising fish in irrigated rice fields. Encouraging signs in reforestation are the initiation of major tree plantations and the national ban on logging. Since 1990, China has combated desertification on 15,000 square miles of land by reforestation and fixation of sand dunes. The Grain to Green program, begun in 2000, gives subsidies to farmers who convert cropland to forest or grassland, and is thereby reducing the use of environmentally sensitive steep hillsides for agriculture. How will it all end up? Like the rest of the world, China is lurching between accelerating environmental damage and accelerating environmental protection. China's large population and large growing economy, and its current and historic centralization, mean that China's lurches involve more momentum than those of any other country. The outcome will affect not just China, but the whole world as well. Because of China's size and its unique form of government, top-down decision-making has operated on a far larger scale there than anywhere else. My best-case scenario for the future is that China's government will recognize that its environmental problems pose an even graver threat than did its problem of population growth. It may then conclude that China's interests require environmental policies as bold and as effectively carried out as its family planning policies.